today? Maybe it's just the spring or something. I just noticed like people wearing bright colored shirts and looking a little bit more dressed up than usual. It's kind of nice. And did everybody see Art's flowers that came off his beautiful rose bush? Mike and Lorraine, about 2 years ago, bought me a small rose bush. It was supposed to be small. And it's Bonica roses, and they bloom like these little tiny pink and white flowers, roses. Anyways, I guess I'm not pruning it properly, because now it's literally about this high, and it kind of takes over our walkway, and you have to like be careful when you're walking so you don't like scratch up all your legs. But I really like it. Everybody here that's here? Okay. Bye, Eliza. Bye, Leah. Have fun. Bye. Okay, so I am going to preach this morning, and I even have a title for my sermon, which I've never had before. So it's called Counting Your Chickens, Praising God for All Answers to Prayer. And very soon you'll understand why I called it Counting Your Chickens. It's not just a random title, it has meaning. But before I start, can we please say a little prayer? I like praying. Father God, thank you so much for today and what a blessing that worship was this morning. And I pray that your presence would just be continue to be ushered in as I preach this Sunday. I pray that you'd help me to preach with clarity and understanding and that we learn something new about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sort of start off with a bit of a story. This has been happening in our family the past couple of weeks. Our family, we pray for lots of different things in our lives. We're especially seeking God about healing and different spiritual growth for us as well. And I just need to sort of preempt it with that. Now I'm going to move on to something else. Okay. So my mom, she's a grade 2 teacher, like Trevor over here. It's grade 2, right? Yeah, grade 2. And this is her last year of teaching. She's going to be retiring next year, and she's very excited about it. But every year in her class, they get chicken eggs from a local farmer, and they incubate them, and then they watch them hatch. See the chicken? See, you're getting it already? So they watch these eggs hatch, and she's been doing this for I don't even know how many years. Now, last year in her particular classroom, none of the eggs hatched, and the kids, you know, were disappointed. They weren't overly upset, but still it's a disappointment when you have, you know, these chickens in an incubator and nothing happens. So this year she really wanted something to hatch. So her and her different colleagues, they got together and, you know, each of the different classrooms in the primary division have incubators with chicken eggs. And it was 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday is the hatching day for chickens. I'm not a farmer. I don't know much about it, but I know, I think it's after 22 days of incubation, chickens are supposed to hatch. So on the Tuesday came, everybody else's chickens hatched. Hers had nothing. She had no chickens. She did have movement in the egg a few days prior, but all the movement had stopped. Nothing had gone on. So she went home that night and really prayed to God. She says, God, please let these chicken hatch. Don't let this be another year where all the kids have to be disappointed. And, you know, she was trying to be lighthearted about it. You know, she's like, well, you know, there's a slim chance and then there's more of a chance. And then, you know, trying to teach them scientific words like probability and things like that. While, you know, trying to keep it upbeat. Well, you know, sometimes they hatch, sometimes they don't. So anyways, that night, it was a Tuesday night, she had a dream that the chickens hatched. So she was quite excited. So Wednesday morning came, and she went into the classroom. No chickens. Not one. Not many movement. Nothing. So that night, she came home again, and this time she called me. And normally, like, we wouldn't get this riled up about chickens hatching from an egg. But as I said before, we've been praying a lot for healing and for things in the spiritual realm that we haven't really seen results for as of yet. So we really wanted something. We were like, God, come on, give us one victory. Let's have this victory in this area. Let those chickens hatch. So she called me. And she asked me if I could pray with her. And she was kind of feeling kind of bummed out. And she's like, come on, God. They're just chickens. Come on, give me some chickens. So we prayed over the phone together. And then I hung up and I continued to pray a bit more. And I immediately was pulled into a vision. And it had me standing in my mom's classroom. And I was at the front of the class. And I looked at the back and there was the incubator. So I walked forward towards the incubator, and I picked up an egg in each hand, and then I blew on each one, and I commanded life to come into those chicken eggs. And then right after that, I was taken right inside of an egg, and I saw the little downy chick all squished up, and I saw a huge, one big black eye. And again, I sort of commanded that chicken. I said, you live in Jesus' name. You come out and you hatch in the name of Jesus. Anyways, the vision ended slightly after there, and I kind of come out of it. And sometimes with visions, you're kind of like, did that really happen? But yeah, then I was sort of like, no, yes, that really did happen. And so, you know, praise the Lord, we're going to get some chickens. So my mom was going to call me the next morning if they'd hatched. So I didn't receive a phone call the next morning. I didn't receive anything. And so I was getting really, really discouraged now. So I was upstairs that afternoon, lying on my bed is where I do a lot of my praying, sort of like on my back and, you know, crying out to God yet again. I was crying out for healings for our physical bodies and for my family. But then I also said, come on, God, I need something. I know he's there and I know he always speaks, but I just that moment, I really needed to really hear him even stronger. It was just, I was having a low point. It wasn't a low day. It was just a low point within the day. And within that time frame, right when I was praying, my mom finally called and said, two chickens hatched today. And I was like, yes, they hatched. Two chickens had hatched. And what had happened that morning is she actually went in with a white garbage bag to throw them all out. Because by the Thursday, if they didn't hatch, it's pretty much they're dead. So she went in to go throw all these chicken eggs out. And she, one of her teachers said, no, 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 don't throw it out. I think I see a crack in one of the eggs. And wouldn't you know, later on that day, two chickens came out. And then all in total, they had six chickens hatch well past their prime. So God answered my prayer. He really did. And to tell you the truth, hatching chickens on my set of priority list of what I would like done is not very up there. Honestly, like, I'm thinking, you know, healing, supernatural, all that. Chickens are kind of down there. You know, I like them. They're nice. They're cute. You know, they're really good with a little coleslaw and things like that too on the side. But, you know, they were not on my priority list. But I realized something. God answered my prayer. And whether I thought it was an important prayer or just a small prayer, I have to praise him no matter what. So that's what mainly my topic is about today. It's just praising God for all your answers to prayer. And it's something that we are really commanded to do and that God wants us to do. So I want to start looking at the story of the 10 leopards healed. So it's in Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. I know we've probably all heard this before and know it quite well. But it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. From this story, I just kind of realized that we are expected to give God praise for every healing that we receive. It amazes me that these people were just cleansed of leprosy, and yet they were just able to walk away and not even turn around and say, oh, thank you for that. You know, we can get so caught up in our own heads that we receive our answer to prayer and we're just excited about getting the answer that we forget to thank the one who gave it to us. And, you know, even Jesus himself says, you know, where did they go? Where did only one came back? Where are the other 9? Like, he's standing there kind of waiting, like, you know, where's my hello, thank you? And nobody came. If I have another verse here too from Thessalonians. And it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances is God's will. Did you see that right up there? For this is God's will. So this isn't even just a bit of a choice. It's his will for you. We have to give thanks to Him no matter what is going on in our current lives for every answer to prayer. And it's amazing to me that when we give thanks and honor to God for all the answers that He gives us, it actually turns out being better for us in the end. You know, it's not why we sing our praises to Him, but it's just the way that God is. Every time that we do something that is glorifying to Him, He in turn wants to bring His glory down onto us. So it really is for our own benefit. I'd like you to imagine with me for a little bit that you are a restaurant owner. Okay, so imagine you're a restaurant owner and you have two customers that come to your restaurant every day. And they come to you for all their nourishment, so three meals a day they arrive. Now, the first one who comes is a man who's a bit of a complainer. And he comes down, he sits down at his table, never particularly likes the table that he's given, always thinks the food that you served a little bit too hot, a little too cold, you know, didn't quite come at the right time, doesn't like today's special, he preferred yesterday's, you know, doesn't want what he's having, he kind of likes what's on somebody else's plate, and he thinks that might be a little bit better for him. And if, you know, get his order a little bit from what he, you know, he orders one thing, if you kind of alter it a little bit, he doesn't like it. You know, he's like, what's the thing that I ordered? Now, if you were a restaurant owner, how would you treat that customer? Probably just give him the bare minimum. You know I would. I would sort of fulfill his needs because he is a customer, right? So he is coming and he is paying. So you got to serve him. But you wouldn't go above and beyond. You'd give him just sort of what he asks for, you know, give or take. And then you'd serve him and then, you know, clean up after him and then, you know, wish him a fond farewell when he was done. Then, now imagine with me that you have another customer that comes in, that same, like every day, the same three meals. And that person is grateful for everything you give them. You know, that first cup of water was the best water they've ever had. It was so cold. The ice cubes were the right size, you know. And then when you give them the table, like, wow, I love this table. You know, it's a great table. And then if you mess up their order or maybe give them something a little bit what they didn't want, they get it and they're like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, you actually added a few things and took away some other things. I really enjoyed the meal the way it is. And today's special is just what I needed. You know, how would you, as an owner of that restaurant, start treating that person? If it were me, I would probably give them the better table in the room. I might even put like linen on, give a little candle. You know, I might even go out and have a bit of a conversation with them and talk. And at the end of it, what happens when you have like really happy customers sometimes? You get a free piece of pie. You know, you get a little bit of something extra than even what you went in for. You know, when we come to God and we're always complaining about the prayers and how He answers them, We're stunting our own growth. We're stunting what we're able to receive from Him because we're whining and complaining so much. But if we come in with all goodness and thankfulness for everything He does, He might throw in a freebie. He might throw in that extra piece of pie, something that you weren't even really praying for. He just wants to bless you with. You know, there is, I think, some laws probably set in motion that when you pray, you know, God is faithful to answer some prayers, but He is limited by some of your attitude. So He might be able to answer some more prayers than even what you had originally thought. An example of the grumpy customer can be found with the Israelites. Now, they weren't always grumpy, but I'm just saying for this particular purpose that they are the grumpy ones, okay? And so this is after they've been called out of Egypt and God has saved them from that. And it says, the rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. So here the Israelites have just been pulled out of slavery where they were beaten and worked really, really hard every single day. And they pulled out of that. God did miraculous things in their lives. And here they are eating manna, supernaturally prepared food that they didn't even really have to, you know, they just woke up in the morning and they gathered. They weren't hunting. They weren't having to strive, and here God is, and they're complaining that they want to go back into slavery to eat a cucumber. It's ridiculous. And let's not pretend that we don't do the same ridiculous things in our own lives. Like, what has God maybe answered for you, and yet you're still, oh, but I wanted, you know, what I used to have. It's like, well, you were a slave then. You know, be aware of what God has actually done for you now and praise Him for it. Move on here. So this is a verse of praise. And it's Psalm 138, 1-3. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. When I called, you answered me. God will always answer you, although sometimes the answer is no. So just be ready for that. Sometimes I pray for God things and God, no. And you know, you petition even harder. But when it's no, it's no. But He will answer. And you know, and as I said before, when you are open and ready to like give Him thanks for everything, when you rejoice over the small answers to prayer, you leave yourself open to receive more answers to prayer. If you keep yourself all closed in and you never offer that thankfulness, you're just going to get little drips. But when you're overly thankful for everything that He has done, He has so much more opportunity to bless you and answer more prayer. And we as Christians, we're praying all the time. There's so much things that we need from God because, you know, He is our everything. He is our life. So I am up here up front today openly praising God for chickens. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, you hatched those chickens. And you did, and I totally believe it. I mean, there was, you know, a small probability that they would have hatched on their own, but I believe it's a miracle. I'm calling it a resurrection of chickens. It's my first one. The next week we'll go to the hospital or the morgue, but right now I'm at chickens. And I'm pretty excited about it. Like, I'm actually proud of those six chickens. They have now moved on to the farmer, and I don't know what's going to become of them, but for at least a few months they had a good life. Maybe they're just going to be egg layers and raise more chickens and have a generation of godly chickens. It's very possible. So, you know, we thank God for those chickens. Okay. I got a lot of Bible verses today, and this one is a particularly long one. But when I was reading it, I couldn't help but want to express and read a large section of it. I'm going to be reading it's the Chronicles, so it's 16, verses 8-13, and then I'm actually going to skip a little bit and go down to 23-36. But it's just a wonderful example of how you can give praise to God. It's almost tells you what to do. It's the how to give praise. Okay. It says, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. And see, He has hatched chickens. I'm making known among the nations in this room what God has done in my life. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength, seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced, O descendants of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones. And then moving on. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the glory and strength Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering to him and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. I like the last part the best. Can we say that together? This last line says, Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for all that he's done for us. You know, I understand that in this room, a lot of us are... I don't need that one. A lot of us are not new Christians. We've been walking in the faith, as we call it, for quite some time. And, you know, this might not be a new idea to you. But what I think it is mainly is another reminder. Just a reminder to sort of take that idea of praise and bring it a little bit more up front again. And not just have it sort of being an afterthought, but being a forethought. You know, I know this is really true for me, and I try to worship and praise him for every good thing that he has done, but, you know, there's some things that honestly that happen in your regular day life that sometimes you don't really even realize. You know, with my girls, I really try to, what we do enforce, and we do every meal, say thank you for our food. You know, and sometimes I think that we kind of have lost that. And, you know, actually, Leah is very good at reminding me when I've forgotten. I look over and she's sitting in a high chair trying to say the word Jesus with her hands folded, waiting for me before she eats. I'm like, hallelujah. And it's not even for me. I noticed the other day, I was like, they were both screaming and wanting to eat. And I was just kind of like haphazardly, you know, said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for the food. And, you know, put it plunked in front. I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. I stopped. And like, no, we're going to do that again. So despite all, I don't know if you know what kids are like at feeding time, but mine are not friendly. And it's not exactly like a peaceful moment. And so you kind of do want to get the food in front of them. But I wanted to make sure that we are always really, you know, attentive to what we were saying and praising God the way that we should, even just for our food. And Mike and I, we pray together every morning and every evening. And we always start off with thanking him for what he's done for us. Because really, like, you know, we may have a small house, but we have a house. You know, our car broke down very badly on the way to Jane Vero's the other day. And we had Jane Vero, who are good friends, to help us to get home, for one. But then we were able to find another car as well. So we had to praise God for that. And, you know, with everything that seems to go bad in our lives, we have so much blessing that is returned. You know, I remember a time too that we were robbed, but you know, they only took my jewelry and we weren't home. So we had to praise him for that. Praise him that they just kind of were not very good thieves and they kind of went in and went out. So not the smartest ones, but you know, that's a good thing for us. So we praise God for that. So even when things don't look quite right, we praise him. And I want you still, when you're praying with God, to be honest with him. And, you know, we're not fooling God by covering up our true feelings with flowery words. And we're not fooling him by saying, oh God, we praise you for everything, when you really are struggling with something particular in your life. You know, I want you to be very honest in your prayer life with him. But at the same time, as you see up there, you can't be rude. So it says, be honest with God always, but always remember to be respectful. Frustration and uncertainty do not permit you to be rude. God is a king. Let's treat him as such. Let's give him reverence. You know, I think we've almost got, sometimes can get into a place where we feel like we're in such a good relationship with God and we become a little bit chummy, that we think that we can just say it like it is. Do you ever have people come to you, oh, I just can't stand this, and they say, well, I just tell the truth, I just tell it like it is, and I don't like blah, 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 blah. And you're looking at them like, you're not just telling the truth, you're just being rude, and you're trying to put it in a way so I can't take offense to it. Have you ever had people be like that to you? I've had a few people be like that to me. I'm thinking, that's just stupid. You're not just being honest and telling it like it is, because, you know, you're just putting all your negative emotions in behind that, and you're just being rude. And so I want you to be honest with God and how you were feeling, but realize that He is still the King. What He says goes, and He always wants what's best for you anyways. So listen. Listen to what He has to say to you. But, you know, to tell you the truth, I do tell Him when I'm frustrated. And, you know, I say, God, you know, I'm really frustrated that I can't break through in this particular area of my life. But I noticed, now that I've sort of started changing my own heart about it, I noticed that, coupled with that, I'll right after say, but I still worship You and I love You and I trust You. I just don't get it. And I'm really, really frustrated and I need really some help. But I think You're amazing. Because look at all the areas that You've answered in my life so far. Look what You're doing around the world. And then so it's kind of like a talk and forth, like back and forth between me and Him about the areas that I'm confused about and need more guidance in, coupled in with worship. And it's really powerful times in that. Because, you know, like I said, God already knows me anyway. So by admitting to Him some of my frustration, again, I'm opening up myself to receive some answers. Because if you're always trying to cover up and pretend that nothing is wrong, how is anybody going to help you? How is anybody going to know? You know, you ask people every day, how are you? Fine. You know, sometimes we just say it because it is kind of like a courtesy. It's our culture. You even walk by, you're not even really listening to the answers. Like, well, how are you? Fine, fine. And then you just keep going, right? And, you know, there's no relationship in that moment there. But, you know, when you're with your close people that you love, you ask, how are you? They tell you sometimes the answers, right? So that's the same with God. You know, when He asks you, how are you? And you're just saying, fine, fine, fine. And you're not helping yourself out any either. So you might as well be honest. But always, always revering Him. And, of course, always thankful. This is a short sermon today. Oh, those are my bleeding hearts. I took that picture and I don't know how to take it off the screen, so you can enjoy that for the last few minutes. I just want to stress again that thankfulness that we have to show God. And I'd like you to all, we got a couple of minutes, so all in this moment, just to think of one thing that you are truly thankful for in your life, whatever that is. And I'm going to give you a minute, and I want you to be really, really thankful for it. Not just, you know, oh, I thank You, the weather's nice. No, I mean that one thing that you are truly grateful for God for. I'd like you to just take a moment to think about that. Now that you have something in your head, how would you thank God? What would you say to Him about that one thing that you're grateful for? Be very sincere about what it is that you believe about it. What do you think? I'm grateful for so many things. I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful that he changes diapers and he can give the kids a bath. And I'm grateful that we get along so well and that we enjoy spending time together. You know, and I'm so thankful that he's a Christian. And that we're going to not only spend this life together, but the next as well. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful for all the answers that God has provided to me in my spiritual life. And the different experiences I've got to have over the past couple of years. I'm so thankful for those. When I start thinking about it, like when you're really thankful for something, do you feel your heart almost being pulled out of your chest? Do you know that sort of sinking feeling you get here that just feels like, ah, I want to love that more? You know, when you have a true heart of thankfulness, you start to feel it in your body. Your body reacts. When you're in your quiet places with God and when you're just taking time to speak to Him, I want you to really speak to Him with all sincerity and all the love that He deserves. Because I know I get caught up with this, especially when I'm praying over the offering every time. We are so blessed to live here. So blessed to live in Canada that we can get assistance and help and we have a family around us. Even if you don't maybe have a good relationship with your biological family right now, you have friends and the church family around you. There's so much that we can be grateful for. And that doesn't mean that you just ignore all the other things that are burdening you in life and just say they don't exist. But I want you to come out of the place of your burdens and rise up in thankfulness so that is what's supreme in your life. That is what's overpowering all the burdens. So if you have those burdens, put them in their place. Put all those negative things in their place. They're supposed to be lower. In Jesus, we are supposed to be able to live thankful no matter what our surrounding circumstances are. And if you are not living that way, we can pray for you. And you can ask God to take you out of that pit and bring you into that state of being thankful. So even if your circumstances don't change, you can still have that heart of joy. And sometimes, to get yourself out of the pit, you got to climb a rope yourself. And you just got to start declaring to God about how thankful and what great wonders He's done in your life and start praising and worshiping Him, and then you'll notice that you're going to start to change. I know I do. Worship changes everything. Worship and thankfulness, it can, you know, make your attitude change. It can break through spiritual dimensions. You know, where you've been oppressed, it can break through. It's a great spiritual weapon, is worship and thankfulness. I'm learning that right now. I have a little fun doing some of my own battles at home. I kind of like a fight. In the physical, I'm small, but in the spiritual, I can be kind of strong sometimes. But, you know, it's like an amazing thing, that worship and thankfulness. We always win. Yes, the other thing. We always win. I just had a dream about 2 weeks ago where two opposing forces, any kids, demons, were coming up against me. And I was like fighting them with a big broomstick. And I said to the person watching, I said, "Watch this. I always win." And I didn't actually see the fight, but I knew I was going to win. But it's true. We always win. I'm just going to close with a bit of prayer. I hope this was enlightening for some of you. It's funny, a lot of the times when you're asked to speak, you are speaking on what is God teaching you at that particular moment. So it's more of a, I'm teaching myself at the same time. Father God, I thank you so much for everything that you have done. I thank you for the words that were spoken here today. And I just pray for everybody in this room that if they're, show them all the great things that you have done in their lives. And I pray that today that we would start to change, that we would bring thankfulness and worship and praise for your honor and your just how wonderful you are, that become a forefront for us. And that no longer would we continue to dwell on the things that have not been yet answered. But we keep petitioning for it, Father, but we would still see your hand in everything. Because you guide us in all things, in all areas of our life. And we are blessed to be Christians. It's so honoring to be a Christian, to actually know the Creator. We pray that we would move into a whole new realm of thankfulness, individually and even as a church, that we would begin to move forward in a just such an area of thankfulness that it would just cause your heart to beat faster for us, and that we'd be able to just receive more of your love that way. Because if we open ourselves up to you and give you all the honor and glory, in turn, you just want to shine down on us. So in this moment, Father, I just thank you for everything you've done for this church. I thank you for the building. I thank you for the sound equipment and all the people that helped me, service run each week. I thank you that you show up, God. Every week you show up when we call. And I just thank you, especially for all the members here. And I pray that as you all go, that you would be blessed this week, that you'd be able to learn more about God and who he is, and that you become even mightier than you ever thought possible. Oh, Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm taking these with me. Well, those roses are nice and